Okay, today we're talking about children awaiting parents, and we have the CEO, Lori McKnight, and the Director of Program Services, Veronica Black. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming in. You got to get a little closer, Lori, like I told you. First, I'm new to children awaiting parents, so give me the overview of what your mission is, I guess I would ask. Either one of you.
Okay.
Lori?
Well, our mission is actually to find loving homes either permanently or temporarily for children who are in foster care. That includes foster care placements and adoptive placements.
Okay. And now you work with government organizations. Is that how it works?
Well,
I mean, people would think that the government is taking care of this, but that's not true, obviously. Otherwise, we wouldn't need children awaiting parents, right?
Right. So we work with county departments of social services, so government organizations, who refer their children to us for either adoption or foster care.
Okay. So, but I saw there's a lot of programs and stuff that you guys are also, so it's not just finding the proper home for these children, right? There's other things. You're the director of program services. What are some of the other services that you would provide?
Well, children awaiting parents, we're an organization that supports families from the very beginning all the way to the end, right?
Uh-huh.
So we provide the foster care services. We are an adoption agency also.
Mm-hmm.
We have a SAFE program. So the SAFE program is for children who age out of the foster care system without a resource. So, you know, we like to say from the beginning to the end, we support youth and families. So we have our SAFE program. We have a Wendy's program, and that is funded by Dave Thomas Foundation.
Oh, that's right. He was adopted, right?
Yes,
I do remember that campaign. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, he was. And that focuses on the hardest to place, longest waiting children, that program. And also, we have a Faith in Children program where we go out into the faith community to recruit and educate, focusing on the need for more safe and loving families, both foster and adoptive. We are also recruiting mentors. So,
okay.
You know, we're a well-rounded organization, right?
Right, right.
We like to say full family services.
Mm-hmm.
We also train all the foster parents and adoptive parents through a state-mandated curriculum in order to...
Oh, so there is some training and...
Oh, yeah. Yes. 30 hours of it.
Yeah.
Yes. And
I was
going
to say, you got to vet the people, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's huge.
Yes,
it's an intense support service as well as the training, an intense training service that we provide for all foster and adoptive and support groups. Mm-hmm. So
now this organization was started right here in Rochester, right? But it's become bigger than that?
Yes, in 1972, it was started by a group of families that had adopted children and felt that children were not being made visible for adoption and were languishing in foster care
mm-hmm.
far too long. And it particularly those children that were sibling sets, children of various cultures, and older teens.
Yeah.
So... they launched this program as an advocacy organization, and up until 2017, that's what they did. They trained families, supported families, and advocated for those youth in care. In 2017, they became, and so I joined in 2018, so I'm giving their history. They, up until 2017, when they became a licensed adoption agency, and I think Veronica was pretty instrumental in that. So.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How long have you been with them?
I've been with the organization 25 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And one of the things, our founder at that time believed that if the children were visible, you know, families
sure.
would come forward. They would be willing to foster and adopt, you know. So we came up with this, they came up with this great idea of the CAP book.
The book, yeah.
National Photo Listing Book of Waiting Children. And we also helped launch the New York State Blue Book at that time. So, you know, it was all about making the children visible. And
sure.
we put these books in pediatrician offices, libraries, on the websites, all types of places.
Right. Yeah. More is better.
Including the National Enquirer.
I saw that. I saw that in the bio, something about the National Enquirer actually helped the whole effort, right?
Yes, yes.
How weird is that?
Yes, I know. I think, too, that some of the great stories are that fires were put up at, like, Kodak and Xerox, and kids were adopted.
Yeah.
And so they really did make the kids visible.
So you're in Rochester-based, too, but you have another satellite? Mm-hmm. Where's that?
We do. That's in Waterloo in Seneca County. That's a new program that we have partnership with Seneca County Department of Human Services. And that is also a foster care program. It's a little bit different than the one we have in Rochester. It focuses very much on foster care, reintegration for families and children, and kinship family services, which is finding a relative for children so that they're not staying in foster care.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea. The need is great down there, I heard.
Yeah, it really is. Small counties often need more support.
They're more rural, too, right?
Yes, yes, they are.
So there's less opportunity, I would assume.
Less resources.
Yeah, less resources. Yeah. There was a question in my head and just went away. Oh, at any given moment, how many children do you have awaiting parents? I mean, is that a... Do you have a finite number? Do you know how many
we know
you have?
A national number. You know, when we for kids who are waiting for adoption, it's about 120,000 across the nation.
Really?
Locally, I think it's, you know, it's not as large, of course, mm-hmm. but I think part of this is the new efforts of the Family First program, which is that finding that relative. I think we're diminishing a little bit on the numbers that are waiting for adoption.
And these kids...
I'm sorry. I just want to add, that's adoption. But for foster care in the United States, there's over 400,000 children in the foster care system. And I believe that upstate New York has, you know, a large number of the children in care.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that, you know, your listeners... maybe, you know, a little interested in learning more about becoming a foster or adoptive parent, and we can, you know, knock that number down some.
That's what we're here for, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how would somebody, if somebody's interested in becoming a foster parent or adopting, what's the first step?
Well, the first step is reaching out to us. They can email us. They can go into our website. They can call us, call our office, and they would attend an informational meeting. Okay, so they can reach us at 585-232-5110 or go into our website, which is www.childrenawaitingparents.org.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from there, they would attend an informational meeting where they would just learn more about the process and in our services, support services. And then from there, if they decide to move forward, they would attend our training class, which is what she was speaking on earlier, the 30-hour training class, which is given over a 10-week period. So it's really just one day a week in the evening. So there's that, and once they've completed that and we have completed all the extra stuff, like the paperwork, the we write their home study, we do the background check on every adult that lives in the home, once all that is completed, then we work to match, you know, to find a child who would best fit their skill set. So basically... I like to say that we focus on the family's strength and the child's needs. We don't place kids based on availability of a bed.
Okay.
You know, so
they don't go. They don't. The foster parents go, I like that one.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
Right. He has my husband's eyes or my mother's smile. No, we try to avoid stuff like that.
Right.
So we go based on the child's needs, the family's strength, and that's how we make our matches.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's one of the things that we pride ourselves on is that we match, even in foster care, we try to place the foster children who we know are temporary in the right home, so that we know that that foster parent or family can meet the needs of those children, so that it's successful.
Yeah, that's highly important. It's just like adopting a dog or a cat or something like that, right? I mean, you got to figure out the right pet, you know, for your. Well, I mean, I hate to use that analogy, but it's kind of the same.
It's very similar. The thing we say is you can't give it back.
Right. Right.
So
yeah. So. How many I mean, right now, at any given moment, how many active foster parents? I mean, you're working on getting children adopted right now. Is it? Do you have a goal every month or annually or anything like that, or it's just keep doing it?
Yeah. So I think with the Family First Act in child welfare, we're moving away from focusing on first adoption. Mm-hmm. We focus first on reintegration with their birth family.
Right.
And if that can't happen, then we look to to adoption. But across the country with 120,000 kids waiting, we also are very focused on helping to reduce that number and get those kids a permanent loving family. But there's no quota. There's no goal.
These are human lives we're talking about, right?
It has to work. It has to fit. So people
like to measure things, though, sometimes.
They
these
do.
Days,
they want know? Outcomes.
They
absolutely.
Really do.
So, and our board likes to see our adoptive numbers as well. But our biggest focus right now is finding more foster families to support that larger need and to be willing to work with the whole family.
So how are you doing that?
I just want to add,
by all means,
families who are listening and are interested uh-huh. in possibly just straight adoption, they can still reach out to us. We don't turn anyone away as far as based on, whether they decide to foster or adopt at a specific time.
Is that a progression? You start fostering and then adopting? Is that the natural progression sometimes?
Yes, for some. Yes, that happens for some people. But then you have those who come in and say, hey, mm-hmm. I solely want to adopt.
Right.
And
right.
we bring them in, and that's what we try to, knock down that number, that 100,000 that mm-hmm. are waiting for permanent placement, that their forever family, with those families who are interested in specifically only adopting. So families have a choice when they come to us. They can become a foster parent, or they can do both. They can foster to adopt, mm-hmm. Or they can do straight adoption.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's confusing.
That makes sense. So I assume this takes funding, and we have an event coming up Saturday night at the Convention Center. You want to tell us a little bit about your gala?
Yes, it is our annual fundraiser, and it is our largest fundraiser. We do some small things throughout the year, but this is the event that we look to help support our services throughout the year. So that event is Saturday, November 4th at the Rochester Riverside Convention Center.
It's right over there.
It is.
It's this Saturday.
Yes. Tickets are still being sold.
Okay.
We know that sometimes last minute happens, so we're open right up to the day for ticket sales. There is a VIP reception at 5:30. If anyone's interested in that, they can purchase a table, a ticket, all kinds of things are available. But we're looking to have this event. It's our 51st. So last year was a very big anniversary. So this one's not as big, but we're pretty excited about the things we're going to have available. And we're hoping that the community comes out.
And people can come out and see examples of success stories that CAP has done, right?
Yes. You'll see a video with success stories and you'll hear about them. You will actually be able to meet some of the families who have successfully adopted. We have a little performance from some children.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we're excited. That's a local group.
Dunwoody Dance.
Yes. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So, Gap Man Joan will be there to play through the dinner hour. And so we are excited about this event.
We love Gap.
Yeah.
He's always got a smile on his face, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
He's an entertainer, that dude.
Yes.
Yeah, he really is. So it's childrenawaitingparents.org.
Yes.
And they can purchase tickets right there as well?
Yes.
And
or call the office, whatever they need to do.
And they can start exploring their options if they want to become a foster parent or adopt somebody?
They can attend an informational meeting, or we can do it over the phone.
Okay.
Not a problem. If they call, we can give them
Zoom.
All the information. Or Zoom. Yeah, it can be virtual. But they can learn about, the different programs and see which one fits.
Well, I know we just scratched the surface, but we're out of time right now. But I do want to remind everybody, this Saturday at the Convention Center, it's the Expression of Gratitude Night of Thanks for Children Awaiting Parents. Lori McKnight, the CEO, and Veronica Black, Director of Program Services, thank you for coming in and scratching the surface. But there's more to learn, I'm sure, about CAP, right?
Yes, absolutely. There is.
Maybe if they come to the gala on Saturday night, they can find out more.
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
become part of the team.
That would be great.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.